Hey everyone, I'm Thanos Davelis, and welcome back to The Greek Current, a podcast by the Hellenic American Leadership Council and Kathimerini, where we highlight the top stories of the day every afternoon with analysis from guest experts, policymakers, journalists, and HELC staff. David Harris, the CEO of the American Jewish Committee, who is in Greece to meet with Greek political leaders and attend the Economist Conference, joins The Greek Current to talk about his latest interview with Kathimerini's Tom Ellis, where they explored topics including regional cooperation in the Eastern Mediterranean, the U.S.-Greece Defense and Interparliamentary Partnership Act, which is a joint legislative priority of both HALC and AJC, and the concerning rise in anti-Semitism across the world. We also discuss the main takeaways from his meetings with Greek Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis and U.S. Ambassador to Greece, Geoffrey Pyatt. David, welcome on to the Greek Current podcast. And I know you've been here in Greece for some days, so welcome to Greece as well.
Thank you. It's a great pleasure to be both on the podcast and, yes, in Greece.
David, in your interview this week with Kathimerini's Tom Ellis, you discussed the view from Washington when it comes to Greece and the Eastern Mediterranean, which has shifted significantly since even, 10 years ago in the midst of the economic crisis. What's significant about the trajectory of this relationship, and what does it mean for the broader Eastern Mediterranean neighborhood?
So I really believe that this is a very special moment for Greece and its friends. I think that many stars are aligned right now. The Greek brand is strong and getting stronger. It's certainly a stark contrast, as you mentioned, to the brand, say, 10 years ago in the midst of the economic crisis, and certainly 30 to 40 years ago when it was not even clear that Greece was a reliable ally of the West, including the United States. So Greece has a strong brand. It has stable leadership. It has many friends in Washington today. So I think that the stars are aligned right now for a major potential jump in the relationship between the United States and Greece, including the understanding of Greece's growing importance to America's geopolitical interests in the Eastern Mediterranean.
What about the relationship between Greece and Israel and Greece, Cyprus, and Israel here? How is the trajectory of that relationship transforming the region?
It's going ever north, and I'm old enough to remember when there essentially was no relationship. Almost quite literally, back to the 1980s, when Greece, together with Spain, was the last West European holdout on even establishing official diplomatic ties with Israel. And Cyprus saw itself as one of the leaders of the non-aligned movement and therefore kept Israel at arm's length. So having witnessed this remarkable change in direction from that starting point, it's all the more gratifying to see what's happened. And here I have to insert that there was a vision already in the 1980s, and the vision was shared by Hellenic American leaders, including people like the late Andy Athens and Andy Manitos and Phil Christopher and others, and my colleagues at the American Jewish Committee. We believe that the absence of a strong relationship among these three was actually abnormal. These were three democracies. These were three, we thought, potentially like-minded countries. And yet, each was looking elsewhere. But we set about, together with friends both in Greece and Cyprus and Israel, to try and change that. And that's why it's so special in 2021 to be able to say that not only have relations been normalized, absolutely, but they've been institutionalized and they transfer from one government to another in each of the countries. And even more, the leaders of the three countries view this triangle now, as they call it, as a strategic triangle. So it's all good news.
While in Athens this week, you held a roughly 70-minute meeting with Greek Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis. Can you talk about this meeting and the broader discussion you had with the Prime Minister?
I'm happy to do so, and I think the good news for your listeners will be that my report on the meeting will not be 70 minutes long. So I'll try and give a very brief summary. I've had the pleasure of meeting with the Prime Minister on several occasions before, and the American Jewish Committee has hosted him for our global forum, which is a large annual gathering. So we know him quite well, and the conversation reflected that, if you will, that intimacy. We talked about a number of issues. We talked about relations between Greece and the United States today. We talked about Greece's brand. We talked about Greece's relationship to other EU member states and how those states saw Greece's role today in the larger Eastern Med. We spoke about Cyprus. We spoke about relations with Israel in the aftermath of the Hamas-triggered war against Israel in May. We spoke about Turkey. In other words, there was no shortage of topics to discuss. And time permitting on the Prime Minister's schedule, My guess is that 3 days later, we'd still be talking.
You also met with U.S. Ambassador to Greece, Geoffrey Pyatt. Can you reflect on your meeting with him as well?
Absolutely. Again, we've known him for a long time. AJC first met him when he was the ambassador in Ukraine at a particularly difficult time in the life of that country. And I have to add that we were very impressed by his diplomatic skills and, frankly, by his moral courage at the time. And we were delighted when he was appointed to Athens. I think he's an extraordinary ambassador. And I think that some of the upward trajectory in relations today between Washington and Athens can also be attributed to his energy, his enthusiasm, his belief that there's much more to be done. So we sat outside in the garden of his lovely residence. We spoke a lot about the new U.S. administration and its attitude towards Greek-U.S. relations. We spoke about what's been accomplished in recent years, including the Defense Cooperation Mutual Agreement, the EastMed Partnership and Security Act, as well as the new legislation that's now just come out of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. I mean, he sees big upside potential, even as the relationship continues to grow and to prosper. I do as well. We compared notes. I think we pretty much agree. We could have completed each other's sentences and paragraphs. And we also spoke about the larger regional context. He attaches importance as the U.S. diplomat here to the relationship with Cyprus and Israel. And obviously, so do I. So again, a very friendly, forward-looking, constructive conversation.
David, the U.S.-Greece Defense and Interparliamentary Partnership Act, which is a joint legislative priority of the Hellenic American Leadership Council and the American Jewish Committee, was recently introduced, as you mentioned, in the Senate and in the House. In your view, why is this bill such a significant step forward for the region?
Well, I think it's significant in a couple of ways. I mean, first of all, in and of itself, it's significant because of the elements of the previous act, the EastMed Act, and of the new act, and the concrete steps outlined in each act. I think there's also a larger symbolic message to the world, to the region, that these relations count. They matter for the United States. And again, I think it also reflects a kind of catching up. As we spoke about at the outset of this interview, it took some time. Greece was often the caboose on the train in the West. Cyprus also, and not just with Israel, but also with the United States. So there's a lot of catching up here, but I think the more the catching up takes place, the more there's a realization that, whoa, we lost time here. We're accomplishing a lot. There's a lot more to be achieved here. We have very friendly governments in Athens and Nicosia. They are extremely well disposed to the United States. They see the United States as an essential partner in addition to their EU membership. I think, in a way, the sky's the limit. We just have to ensure that big thinking continues to emerge, and not just the day-to-day sort of management and implementation of existing agreements or daily challenges. I think with big thinking coming from Washington, coming from Athens, coming from Nicosia, and all that coming from Jerusalem, I think that there's still a lot more to be done. Yes, on the legislative level in Washington, but also in the geopolitical and strategic coordination among these countries. So, if there were a Dow Jones diplomatic average and people could invest, I would say invest in this relationship. It's growing. And I would also add, I think there's room for expansion. And we're already beginning to see that. Again, part of the HALC AJC vision was to build this triangle, to encourage the United States to support it and to be part of it. But now we're looking already at next steps. And next steps include, we now have a circle of peace among six Arab countries with Israel, several of whom, like Egypt and the UAE, are also very close to Greece. How do we intertwine this? Greece is also a key player in the Balkans. And some of those Balkan countries are also eyeing developments in the East Med and wondering if they can get into the action as well. So I think with really sort of big vision, creative diplomacy here on the part of all of us, HALC, AJC, the governments involved, I think we can continue to see this go upward and northward. And I think the result will be a greater zone of peace, prosperity, and stability, which should be in everyone's interests.
David, a concerning issue that you covered with Tom Ellis in your interview in Kathimerini was that of anti-Semitism. In your interview, you noted that anti-Semitism is surging in many places, and you pointed out that Greece has not been immune to anti-Semitism either. Where are we seeing this rise in anti-Semitism, and how can we combat it, whether it's in the United States or in Greece?
Unfortunately, and it's painful for me to say, but anti-Semitism is indeed on the increase. It's a global phenomenon. We've seen too many manifestations of it in the United States recently, including deadly manifestations of it. And we see it coming from multiple sources. And this is, for us, a very important point. Some have tried to politicize anti-Semitism to use against their political sort of foes. We're the good guys, they're the bad guys. But what we've seen around the world, including the United States, is that anti-Semitism can come from the extreme right. So think groups like the Golden Dawn Party. We know that all too well in Greece, or in the U.S., think Charlottesville, think Pittsburgh, think Poway, think QAnon, think Marjorie Taylor Greene in the U.S. Congress. But anti-Semitism can come equally harshly from the far left. Think people like Jeremy Corbyn, the recent Labour Party leader in the UK. Think what we saw in May in the United States, from New York to California, the attacks on Jews on the streets, the stabbing of the rabbi most recently in Boston. These did not come from the far right. These came from the far left, or people who profess to be supporters of the Palestinians and of Hamas. In Greece, our concern again has focused on Golden Dawn, which thankfully, having surfaced and having generated a lot of attention for a period of time, entering the parliament, is now pretty much vanquished. And I think, by the way, that's not only good for the fight against anti-Semitism, but the very idea that this country, Greece, where I am right now, which was one of the most brutalized nations in the Second World War by Nazi Germany, and which fought so valiantly in resistance against Nazi Germany, would give birth to any political party that could garner even 6, 7, 8% of the vote based on a kind of neo-Nazism is reprehensible. And then, of course, we've seen the periodic desecrations, especially of Holocaust monuments, whether in Athens or Thessaloniki or elsewhere. It's almost a kind of attempted second murder of Jews. They were murdered once, 87% of the Jewish community of Greece, pre-war, was destroyed by the Nazis. And there are barely 5,000 Jews, I believe, left in Greece today from a once thriving and ancient community. Fortunately, and we met with other government officials, including the Minister of Education and Religious Affairs, I think today the Greek government is well aware of the threat. It may not be as deadly yet as it has been in France, Belgium, or the United States, but it's there, it's real. I think they're looking, they're monitoring. I think they're doing a lot of work now in schools, trying to teach about the history of the Holocaust, the danger of anti-Semitism, the threat of intolerance more generally, as Greece itself becomes a more multicultural country than it was certainly when I first came to Greece as a student in the 1970s. So, there's some good news, there's some encouraging news, but we should not underestimate the durability and the danger of anti-Semitism in any form, any place in the world.
David, thanks for joining us on The Greek Current. It was great speaking with you. In other news, on Thursday, the EU's executive approved Cyprus's plan to spend 1.2 billion euros worth of special funds from the European Union aimed at restarting economic growth mauled by the COVID-19 pandemic. The aid, which Cyprus won't have to pay back, is part of the EU's unprecedented economic stimulus totaling 800 billion euros. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen, who is visiting Cyprus, said the plan was ambitious and far-sighted. She also said she's looking at ways to offer more support to Cyprus from the bloc's border agency Frontex to stem the flow of migrants. Touching on the Cyprus issue, she stressed that the European Union will never ever accept a two-state solution for Cyprus. Finally, according to a Voice of America report, Greece is redoubling its diplomatic efforts to persuade Germany to stop selling submarines to Turkey, saying that the planned sale of a half dozen subs will shift the balance of naval power in the Eastern Mediterranean. The first of 6 German-designed submarines destined for Turkey was floated from its dock earlier this year and is scheduled to join the Turkish fleet next year. 5 other submarines are to follow over the next few years in a deal worth around $4 billion. Greek Foreign Minister Nikos Dendias expressed his disappointment last month when Germany's ruling coalition blocked efforts in the German parliament by opposition lawmakers to stop the submarine sales. That wraps up today's episode of The Greek Current. Thanks for tuning in.